So the Gemara asks, and the Gemara answers, well, so we see from here a couple of things. Number one is if Basar and Vina touch each other, they need Hadacha. Number two is we see that L'chatchila, you should not allow them to touch each other. Why? So the Rashba explains, because you might forget to do Hadacha. Moreover, the Rashba writes, in the name of the Baal Ha'itter, and the Tor quotes it, that this is Dafka Basar Mevushal. Why? Because Lav Orche B'Hadacha. But, since the whole reason why L'chatchila, you're not allowed to put them next to each other, let the meat and the cheese touch each other, is because you might forget to do Hadacha, so we could deduce that anything that is Darko B'Hadacha, like Basar Chai, would be mutter even L'chatchila. The Ra'ah in the Bedek Bais disagrees with this. And he says, no, even if Orche B'Hadacha, it's Aser, because they might touch each because they're going to touch each other. And therefore, it's Aser L'chatchila, even to put, let's say, raw meat in the same bag with cheese where they're going to touch each other. Now, we'll get there in a second. He's not clear why. He says, Shema lo yadichenu yafe yafe. We'll talk about what that means in a second. If you take a look at the Mishmeres HaBayis over there, he's docha. He says, no. And it should be mutter. And he says, I'll bring you a raya from a pasuk, Parshas HaShavua. What's the raya? Because the pasuk says, Vayasimu ha-chalavim ala chazos. Right? They put the chalev on the chazos. So the chalev is aser. It's talking about the karbanos, but it goes on the mizbeach. And therefore, you see that why was it okay? They were cold, and there's no concern that you'll forget. Now the gra over here, sif katan base, says, what will the ra'ah respond? The ra'ah will say, that's midiraisa. You're right, of course midiraisa. You're allowed to do that, but midrabanan they asered it. Inami, kohanim zrizim heim, kayadua. I never forget anything. So therefore, you have nothing to worry about. I meant forget, not like the Torah I learned. It doesn't say that kohanim don't forget. I meant like, you know, when I go grocery shopping, I would never forget something I'm supposed to buy. Fine. So those are the gross two answers. So what was the taka? I understand disagreeing about kohanim zrizim heim. Okay.
What about the first answer?
But the first answer, so like what was the Rashba thinking? So l'chora, what you see is that the Rashba holds like the Taz HaYadua. You all know the Taz HaYadua. It's Yadua, right? There's a famous Taz. The Taz says this in a couple of places, that Chazal will never or are not able to be gozer on something that the Torah explicitly permits. Rav David Cohn from Brooklyn has a whole sefer on, I forget the title exactly, but the title of the sefer is something like Hataz Hayadua. And the whole sefer is on this Taz. It's in the front of the Beis Medrash if you want to read it. But so I don't know if he quotes this Rashba as a raya for the Taz. That's like the point of the Sefer, to bring rayos for the Taz or against the Taz. But L'chora, this Rashba, is a raya for the Taz. Right? Yes, I'm sorry?
I thought it's basically only if it's
Mufurish Bekra. It is Mufurish Bekra. No, it's not on the Mizbeach.
I thought
you
said that you could put it on
the No, before, when they're doing Tanufa. You're really behind in Parshas HaShavua, I see. The Chazos you were going to eat. There was the basar that the Kohanim ate, that's on top of the chalev, which is on the Mizbeach.
Okay.
If a human being ate the chalev, terrible isser, right? So they put cold meat that's aser on top of cold meat that's mutter. Okay? According to the Ra'ah, that's aser midrabanan. In other words, what
happens
is...
after they put it on? They eat it afterwards?
Of course they wash it off. But the point is that it's aser midrabanan to do this. And how could... That doesn't matter. The point is they still couldn't asser something that the Torah explicitly permits. Ein shvus b'mikdash means that something that is a shvus is mutter b'mikdash. What the Rashba is saying is it can't even be a shvus because it's a mefurish pasuk that it's mutter.
Because it's mikdash, not a mefurish
pasuk. No. That's very difficult. The whole idea of the Taz is that, I mean, you could like the Taz or not like the Taz, but the whole idea of the Taz is that if the Torah says something is mutter, Chazal don't have the authority to asser it. Okay? So here, that's Rashba saying that's exactly what they did over here. There's something that the Torah says is mutter, and Chazal assered it. And that's why he asks on the Ra, it's against the Pasuk.
You can't say that the Pasuk specifically saying the Mikdash.
There's no difference between Mikdash and Begvulin in the Pasuk.
It happens to be in the Mikdash.
I know, but there's no difference. It's still against the rule. What is the rule? Why can't Chazal asser something that's Mefurish in the Torah?
I don't think there's a lot of rias against it, but
there's a lot of rias against it. Yeah. Read the Sefer, there's a lot of rias for it. A whole book worth. Here's one, another one.
I kind of have also, but I don't remember, but I think that there's no reshus that they can't.
Okay, so it doesn't make so that doesn't make a difference then. Ein shvus b'mikdash is a din d'rabbanan. It also is not clear, by the way. Ein shvus b'mikdash might mean shvus, right? This isn't shvus, but so anyway, I don't think that's a problem. But the point is that anything that if the Torah says that it is mutter to do this thing, then Chazal can't answer it. The Torah says over here that's mutter to do this thing.
If the logic of the Taz is, let's say, similar to why the Maharam couldn't go explicitly against what the Gemara says.
No, it's not a different thing. It's not like that.
It's not different. What's the logic of the Taz? Is it that you can't say explicitly against what it says in the Torah, or is it something... If it's that, then Shmuel's point is a very good one, if you say that Shmuel's point would apply to this case. It's not explicitly against... We answered something else. The Mikdash is totally fine. What Aaron Cohen did was...
That is... You could say that, but the Pashup shot is...
With Taz is more Jewish than that.
Yeah, in other words, this is a limitation in rabbinic authority. Okay, anyway, if you have another pshat to...
Why can't we also say that it's a horse shot? No, that was a very specific...
It doesn't sound... That's not a...
It's by the miluim, it's not a...
But it doesn't sound that way. Anyway, isn't it true throughout? No? When they do tenuf on every shlamim, so the chelak of the kohanim and the chelak of the bialim are touching each other. Anyway, okay, that was just if you don't like it, you don't have to worry about it too much. Just have to work in the Taz sometime over the year. So what's a more important question to ask is what Elliot was alluding to, which is what is the machlokas here between the Ra'ah and the Rashba. So you could say, there's a machlokas about, you know, how forgetful or concerned people are. But if you look carefully at the Lashon, the implication is that the Ra'ah's concern is that you won't do a really good job washing it. The Lashon is, Shema lo yadichenu yafi yafe. And it could be, therefore, that they're arguing about what type of hadacha is needed. I think the Badei Meshulchan might learn this way also. That the Rashba holds that hadacha without shifshaf is alone, is enough. So raw meat, what do? You rinse it off, but you don't do a rubbing it. You don't do a careful cleaning. So therefore, the Rashba says there's no concern, because since anyway you're going to rinse this, and all you need to do is rinse this, so then what are you possibly worried about? Masha ein kein, the Ra'ah sounds like you need to do something more than a rinsing. And if that's true, then there is a concern for raw meat that while you might rinse it, you might not wash it well, right? Shemel yadichenu yafe yafe. And if you need hadacha yafe yafe, so therefore, he is machmir. Now this is an important machlokas because, as we'll see when we get to the sheet of the Ramah and the Shach and the like, this question of what type of washing is necessary to do when cold touches cold is a very important question. And also, does it make a difference what type of material it is, especially over here, we're talking about chelav, very fatty, at least in the pasuk that he quotes. The Rashba also quotes, both in the Tosafot Bais and in the Chidushim, the Ravid, that says, along similar lines to this first Chiddush, is that any time you have something that's darko b'hadacha, you could put it on a kli shel iser, even l'chatchila, al smach, that you will do hadacha later. But if it's not darko l'hadiach, then it would be aser. Okay. So, all that's fine, and the simon really goes quite smoothly until you get to the Rambam. And that's when it's a problem, because the Tor quoted this Baal HaEter, as we mentioned before, the Rashba quoted the Baal HaEter as well. And it would seem that the Ramah understood that the Baal HaEter, when the Baal HaEter said you can't put Heter on a Kli Shel Isser, if it's Ein Darko B'Hadacha, he's even talking about a clean plate, and even if it's cold. And that's why the Ramah says, well, this is so a bunch of other things, because there are all sorts of sources. We'll speak about them in 1 minute, but there are all sorts of sources that indicate that as long as something is clean, and as long as it's cold, there's nothing to worry about. No problem. And yet, we have this Baal HaEter saying, no, even though it's clean, and even though it's cold, there is a problem. You need Hadacha, and we're concerned you'll forget to do Hadacha. And that's why the Ramah is really bothered by this Baal HaEter. So say a whole bunch of other things, and he has a whole bunch of answers to deal with the question and the like. Now, if you actually look at the Rashba citation of the Baal HaEter, I didn't look at the Baal HaEter inside. I don't know, did anyone do that? But if you look at the Rashba citation of the Baal HaEter, meaning in the Tosafot Bais, so you'll tell me if what I'm about to say is true inside. But anyway, so tell me, I want to hear in 1 second, but if you look at the Rashba citation of the Baal HaEter, which is in Tosafot Bais, it's on the Chaf Aleph on the base, I think it's quite clear that he is talking about a case where the bowl is not washed. In which case, none of these problems will even start. Now, the Darkei Moshe didn't understand it that way, because again, if it was totally clean, then there's no... Sorry, if it was dirty, so then there's no longer a stira to all the places, right? Like, for example, what we say in Hilchos Chametz, that you could put your matz on your chametz deka kelim, right? Well, that's not talking about dirty chametz deka kelim, it's talking about clean chametz deka kelim. So, the Ramah understood the Baal HaEter is talking about a clean kli, and that's why he had the problems. If you look at the Rashba citation of the Baal HaEter, doesn't sound that way. The Ramah might be coming from the Tur citation of the Rashba citation of the Baal HaEter, which does a little bit sound like it's clean. And that's why, again, since the Ramah understood that the Baal HaEter thought he was talking about a clean kli, therefore he gets into trouble, and we'll see, he has all sorts of answers. Now, one possibility that we're going to get back to later is that perhaps our binary model is incorrect. Maybe there's three options, not two, right? I was assuming there's clean, there's dirty. Maybe there's clean, there's mostly clean, and then there's dirty. So we'll return to that a little later. That is one of the possibilities that the Darkei Moshe, or actually in the Tosafot Chatas, raises to resolve the problem, but in his question at the very least, and presumably in most of his answers, he's maintaining the binary model. He's assuming the Baal HaEter is machmir even when it's clean. That's why he has the problem, and he comes up with all sorts of creative solutions. Sorry, so the Baal HaEter inside, what did it sound like? Did it sound like it was clean or dirty?
I have to look it up just to make sure, but I remember he talked about, he said, how could we invite non-Jews to our house?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to drink our wine.
Okay.
And then the wine is going to come Yai Nesef.
Right.
So must be the Heter is that no, this is proof that if it's darko to wash, then it's mutter. So that's implying that, first off, the darko to wash isn't, we ended up bringing it after the fact, when you bust our chai. But he's bringing the, but you could also wash it beforehand. If it's darko to wash beforehand, that's mashma that his chumra is actually when it is dirty. B'chumra. I don't know if I explained
that. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you're saying that when you look at the Baal HaEter inside, there's no internal evidence for the Ramah's understanding.
Maybe say we assume that our kingdom are clean.
Okay, we could talk about sakinim. That's going to be part of the problem. Again,
The Ramah
tells you exactly where he's coming from.
He doesn't say why he thinks it's clean. I'm just saying. I remember we spoke about that. Oh, he said the Chazal assume sakinim are dirty, but other kingdom we assume are clean.
Okay, but who says the Bala Itter is talking about a clean plate? Well, the Bala Itter says you could put a piece of raw kosher meat on a non-kosher plate. Why would you? Because you're going to wash it. So why do you assume that that's a clean plate? When I said before we assume stam kalim are clean, that's not, I mean, we know that there are lots of dirty dishes, there are lots of clean dishes in the world. What I meant to say is that if you take a spoon out of your drawer, right, and you stick it, you know, out of your fleishig drawer, and then you, without paying much attention, you put it into sour cream, so you're going to assume that it was clean.
Or if you serve a guy with a glass of wine,
we know exactly what it is. When you give it to him, it's clean.
Right.
After he drinks, it's dirty. So that has nothing to do with what I said. What I said before is that what is the assumption about, you know, something in your silverware drawer? Right? The answer is if it's a spoon, we assume it's clean. And if it's a knife, we're choshish, it's dirty. That has nothing to do with this. Here, the Bala Itter just said the statement that don't put cooked meat onto a isser plate, but it's okay to put raw meat onto an isser plate. So, if you would have asked me, and again, I think it's abundantly clear from the Rashba that's what he means. If you look at the Makor Advarim, he's talking about a dirty plate, right? And it's very simple. Don't put cooked kosher meat on a dirty non-kosher plate, because you might not wash it. But if it's clean, there's no reason to assume it's a problem. So, again, I think that the Darkei Moshe is sort of coming off of the Lashon of the Torah, quoting this, which lends itself to this interpretation. I understand where the Ramah is coming from in terms of the Lashon of the Torah. All I am noting is that problem, when you look at the Rashba inside, it doesn't seem like that's an issue. And then we could be finished with this siman. We'd be all done. But alas, that's not the way the Ramah read it. So therefore he has this problem. So let's talk about his problem. So the Darkei Moshe and the Toras Chata says this is Soser bunch of dinim. Specifically, it's Soser four halachos, four sources. Number one, the Gemara Pesachim, Lamed Amud Beis, that says that klishin ishtamish bo l'chametz, it's mutter l'shtamish bo for matzah. Sounds like when you have a cold food, you're allowed to put it on non-kosher plate. Right? Again, assuming it's clean. And the Torah paskins this way in Siman Tafnun and Aleph, so it's a steer in the Torah as well. Source number two is the Orchus Chaim, quoting the Ra'ah, and the Beis Yosef cited this in Kuf Hei, that if you have a Gayish plate that's clean, it's mutter to put on it spices or onions or other Dvarim Charifim, because since everything is Yavish B'Yavish, there's no concern. And even though the tour, and the tour over here, again, the Bala Itter, seems to say that that's a problem. Okay, number three, if it's ain darko ladiach, right? Presumably, you know, your pepper is not darko ladiach. Okay, problem number three. The tour in Simon Tzadi Dalid, Sif Gimel, says it's mutter to put a kedera that was bolea basar b'chalav, you could put on it fruits or the like. Why? The context over there is he's saying that's not an issue with being nanef from basar b'chalav because you're not nanef from the blios. But you see, again, he seems to be taking for granted that there's no concern with blios b'tzonin and there's no presumption that it's dirty. And finally, number four, the Rashba and Shuvah, Chelek Aleph, Simenayin Vav, writes that it's mutter to put basar on a clean milchiga plate. So those are the problems. So how does the Rama answer? He has four answers. Three in the Darkei Moshe, and Toskatas he has two, but one of them are overlapped. He brings an additional answer. So we have four answers to these questions. So answer number one in the Toskatas is the simplest answer, right? And again, you sort of see this answer in the Toskatas, and again, you'd wish, okay, this resolves all the problems, and we could stop here. It'd be a very interesting, very simple simon. We'd already be on Simon Sadi base. But for some reason, he doesn't like this answer, though, as we'll see, he does seem to partially accept it. What's the answer in the Toskatas? Again, what I would say is the simplest answer is that it depends how clean it is. If you are Rochet HaKli Heitev, so then it's totally clean, you have nothing to worry about, versus a case where you didn't wash it super duper well. And what are you going to say? And this explains also, he says, the Torah in Kuf Chaf Beis, which is Kuf Chaf Aleph, I think. That's the answer. In other words, the answer is that the Baal HaEtor is talking about a case where the plate is sort of clean, right? You rinsed it, but you didn't wash it well. Sort of like, you know, a lot of times after I wash the dishes, my wife has to wash the dishes again. I mean, I don't know why she does it, but she thinks she has to do it. You know, maybe the water wasn't so hot, or there wasn't so much soap, or what? Exactly. I guess you're being motzi laz in my yichus. Maybe it's Kohanim's reason in the Mikdash. Yeah. Kohanim are very efficient. In Mikdash, things are important to be as artists. This is like, you know, what's a little bit of grease on your plate? It's going to get dirty again. it's like a sillier thing as like making your bed in the morning. If you're just going to get it messy again in the evening, you're going to get the plate dirty again. What are you worried so much about cleaning it?
Extra flavor also.
Ah, noch besser. So anyway, so that's the answer, and that's a very simple answer to understand. Nothing particularly complex. The Chumra of the Baal HaEtor is talking about a case where the plate isn't super duper clean. Good. And all the other places where we say it's no problem to use it bitzonein, that's talking about a case where it is super duper clean. But again, obviously, and we'll talk about why shortly, but obviously he didn't think this is the best answer, and that's why he has three additional answers. And in Siman Tzadi Aleph, at least, he doesn't paskin like this answer, as you noticed. So answer number two is that it's not usher to use for when do we say that it's usher to problematic the Baal HaEtor is when there's lachluchas ktsas, but something that's totally yavesh, so then that's mutter. For example, in Or Chaim, in Hilchos Chametz, so when he says you're allowed to put your matzah on your chametz dikah plate, imagine doing that, right? And see what your mother says about that. But when you put your matzah down on the chametz dikah plate, so it's talking about matzah that's totally dry, and the plate is dry, and that's fine, no problem. But if there's moisture, so then there's a problem. Okay? And our simon is talking about where it's not totally dry. Like we're talking about, for example, a piece of meat, right? Piece of meat where the Baal HaEtor said is chumra. So a piece of meat typically is not like dry. It's not like a piece of matzah.
On a clean plate, though.
Yeah. So that's what he's saying, right? Because again, this answer is assuming the plate is clean. The difference is the only difference between Tafnun Aleph and Sadi Aleph is Tafnun Aleph is dry, but presumably clean, and Sadi Aleph is moist, but also presumably clean. That's
the Shib Rashba, which talks about
so maybe he's against the Rashba, but that's what this answer seems to say. It's a good Hara. We'll hopefully return to it. So there's a general question which we're going to also discuss, which is, you know, is the concern over here because of Blios Bitzonin, or is the concern over here because of the residue and the dirt and the like, right? Now, presumably, I would have said, right, in other words, let's say within this answer, so when he says dry is okay, but if it's moist, it's a problem. So is he saying moist is a problem because it's blios betzonein, or no, there's still some concern with some mamash? That isn't clear, right? But fine. Answer number three is maybe we're more mako by chametz. It's very interesting, right? Usually we say the opposite. We have 300,000 chumras by chametz. So maybe it would sort of go against the grain. It could be because it would be too hard to be make machmir by chametz. Meaning to say, to have milchiks and fleshiks kalim, so we could do. Or to say, don't use a treif kalim. But by chametz, to get all new dishes and like, you know, even for the things that you put your matzah on, it's very hard. So maybe that's why we're more makel by chametz. Maybe, like you said, we're so machmir anyway by chametz, we could throw in one kula. Whatever it is, lemaisa, maybe because, you know, before Pesach starts, you're going to really clean, super duper scrub everything really well. And whatever the issue is, that's chiluk, answer number three. And then his favorite answer is Yesh chalek ben davar shebala iser bechamin, az asa l'shtamish bo tzonein, ba davar shenishtamish bo iser tzonein, then motor laniach bo hater tzonein. So if, let's say, the case of chametz, talking about a case of like a bread plate, right? A challah tray. So you never put hot challah on your tray, right? Ramallah Shitas is not worried about davar gush, so you never, challah tray was never used for hot, there never blios in it, so that's okay. But our Gemara is talking about a plate that was used for something hot, and that's answer number four. Oh. And he writes that this teretz is ikker. And he proves it because he says, look earlier, where we said it's mutter to eat on a kli that was used for melicha if it's cold, right? That was a simen samach tes. So that works nicely with this answer because melicha is done betzonein. Now, l'chora, that doesn't make any sense because I don't understand. What difference does it make if it's hot or cold? If we say there are blios betzonein, right? Let's say in the case of a kli used for melicha. So what difference does it make that the blios went in betzonein? Let's say we're worried about, like Shmuel said, Shmuel's interpretation of the Ramah is he's concerned about some form of blios betzonein, right? Well, like it sounds like. So if that's the concern, so what difference does it make that the blios went in betzonein and not bechamin? Not beroschen. Lamaisa, they're blios here. So if he's worried about blios betzonein, so what difference does it make if the blios got in there betzonein or the blios got in there bechamin? If you said that what he meant in this answer is that any kli that was always used betzonein and therefore never absorbed anything, that's when it's mutter. So then I would understand this answer. The Ramah is choshish for blios betzonein. I don't know where you got that from, but somehow or another we're worried about blios betzonein. But there are no blios because it was only used for cold. But that's not what he's saying, right? He's saying it's mutter anytime it was bala betzonein. In other words, there are blios, but the blios only got there in there through tzonein, like melicha. Well, right? In other words, if it's bala betzonein, it's mutter l'shtamish betzonein. If it's bala b'chamin, it's also l'shtamish betzonein. But I don't understand. Lamaisa, they're blios. Okay, so that's the difficulty with this fourth answer. Chavuses are ganging up on me. Yeah. We're going to have answers to all these questions. Don't worry. I mean, maybe we won't, but we'll try. Yes.
In Simon Cafe, the Shach explained that in the Ramah that Michael is Noach.
We'll get there. Okay, good.
Are not Noach.
Yeah, so what?
So I think that if you have Michael on it, so it's Noach, it's only going to, if it's hot, it's Noach with flow, but if it's not hot, then it's not going to be Noach with blow.
But there are blios, right? They're blios shel iser. When you use a kli to salt something, right? It becomes aser, correct?
Yeah.
It's aser to use, right? Mm-hmm. If you use it bechamen, it would aser food.
Right.
Good.
Because then it needs to.
So now, do you think that according to the Ramah that when the kli is cold, it could transfer blios to the food that's put onto it? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So just because those blios got in their betzonein, why should that magically mean they're not going to leave betzonein? But if the blios got in their bechamin, then they're going to leave betzonein? You could say that. Because I'm just saying that's very strange. Great. So then if it's not noach liflot, then it should be mutter even if it was bala bechamin. But he says it's asher if it's bala bechamin.
It doesn't come into in the first place if it was not bala bechamin.
It does. He said it's mutter if you to use this kli that you salted on. It's full of blios. You admitted it was full of blios.
Because it was bala bechamin, and since
you're saying that the pshat is that anything that was bala bechamin is noach liflot afilu betzonein. But if it was bala betzonein,
Michael is coming onto it now, so it's noach livloa.
No, we don't care about the kli. We're talking only about being maflit. The kli is clean. We want to know what... Can you put your kosher food onto the treif kli, right? He says, you're allowed to put your kosher food onto the treif kli if the treif kli is only treif because it was bala betzonein.
So let's get anything from betzonein because it's...
But it's full of blios.
It's not noach liflot.
It's not noach liflot.
Sorry, not noach
liflot. The blios happened already. It's already full of blios, one way or the other. It's full of blios.
I don't think anything starts when it's betzonein.
There are blios in it. I don't know what you're saying.
If it's toning,
there are blios. He told you there are blios in it. He said this is a kli that was used for salting. It's full of blios. If you were to put something hot on it, it would become aser l'kuleyama. It's full of blios. But still, if the blios only got in there betzonein, then you could use it for betzonein. But if the blios got in there bechamin,
it should be no quiet. There's no difference. You're saying
if you did malich on this, if you did li on this, if you put hot on it, it's aser.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Why? Where is the difference?
Right.
That's the tmiya on this answer. We'll get to an answer. There's an answer, but before we get to the answer, it's a strong question. I think. Yes.
I was going to ask something else on the remote.
Another thing to throw in. Good.
The why the itzer stuck out of my head is because it seems that itzer about yai nesach seems to contradict this remote. Yai nesach is cold, and he says, "Why is it mutter? It's only mutter because it's normal to wash cups."
There's no blios.
No, but it's cold, so...
It's that right. That, in that case, it would be mutter.
But only because you wash it, like you didn't...
Right, that's what I said. This Ramah has nothing to do with the Bala Itter. The Ramah didn't seem to have the Bala Itter, because I think if he did, his interpretation is very difficult. The Ramah was working off of the Tur's citation of the Rashba's citation of the Bala Itter. And from that presentation, the Ramah's understanding is very reasonable, which is what leads him to these problems. I think you're right that the Ramah did not have the Bala Itter inside. Uh-huh. Okay, good. So what's the answer? So, well, let's turn to the Shulchan Aruch. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes, he paskins this way, but he says, Davka davar sheyesh bo lachluches ktsas, aval davar shu yavish mamish, oh! Im lo bala hakli rak betzonein, mutter laniach bo davar yavesh below adacha klal. Seems like the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch combined two of his answers. And he basically said, to be mutter, you need tati lativusa. Namely, number one, that this kli was only used for tzonein. And number two, is that you're only putting something yavesh into it. But absent those two conditions, it's going to be aser. That's the way the Ramah reads, and the Shach points that out in Sifkat and Gimel. We'll talk about the Taz in a moment. The Taz doesn't think that makes any sense, and he changes the Girsa in two places. But with our Girsa, that seems to be the view of the Ramah, that you need these two things. Now, the Shach writes about this Ramah, that it's Dvaram Kashin Metchila V'Ad Sof. It simply doesn't make a bit of sense. And therefore, the Shach says, there's a very simple answer to this question, which is that it depends if the plate was clean or not. If it was very clean, so then there's no problem to put tzonein on it. And the Bala Itter, like we said all along, is talking about a case where it's dirty or somewhat dirty or the like. It's not totally clean, and therefore there's a concern that you'll forget to wash it. And this is also the interpretation of the Pri Chadash and the Pri Megadim Paskins this way. And we're makel even bedavar lach. Now, as we don't accept the chumrah of the Ramah, lahalacha, and that's going to be very important, as we'll discuss soon, because this shaila does come up. The Taz Sifkat and Gimel is also very bothered by the Rama, and he changed the Girsa. According to him, you only need one of the two things. The way the Taz reads it, he actually changes, like we said, he has to change two words for this Rama to make sense. He would read it as V'dafka davar shiyesh bo lachluchis k'tsas aval davar yavesh mamish. You have to add O im lo bala hakli rak b'tzonein. Bala is lav dafka because it just means it was used b'tzonein. Mutter lahaniach bo davar, and he has to change yavesh to lach below hadach haklal. So the Taz introduces many new things in the Rama for it to make sense. Maybe we'll talk about the Shita of the Taz, but let's stick for the Rama as we have it. So how are we going to understand the Rama? Now, first of all, even though the Shach thinks he thoroughly schlugged up the Rama, in the process of schlugging up the Rama, the Shach sort of admitted between the lines that there are a bunch of Rishonim who learn like the Rama. For example, the Shach quotes that Tosos in Avodah Zarah and the Mordechai both hold that it's aser to be mishtamesh bedavar lach betzonein. And the Mordechai is quoted in the Beis Yosef and Siman Tzadi Dalet. So here we have a bunch of Rishonim who do seem to be concerned with Blios Bitzonein, or whatever the concern is over here. Now the Shach says, well, Tosfos and the Mordechai must be talking about Kli Cheres only, and therefore they're not relevant to here. And, well, why would Kli Cheres make a difference? Right? Why would we be more machmir for Kli Cheres? So the Chavos Tas explains that the Shach is assuming, based off of the Rashba, according to one view in the Rashba, Kli Cheres, we know, is Eno Yotim De Dofno Liolam. So the Rashba says, Ha'il ubli aso meruba, so it's also pleitaso meruba, and therefore it's maflit bitzonein. Okay, so that's the way the Shach learns Tosfos, and the Mordechai, and the like. Okay, so at least there are some Rishonim that hold of this type of problem, and the Shach tries to sort of limit their chiddush. But there's already some more basis for the Rama's theory that there seems to be issues here. The Shach, though, says we don't paskin that way. And we paskin that as long as the Kli is totally clean, whether it's Kli Mateches, whether it's Kli Cheres, it's Mutter, Lahaniach Bo Davar Tzonein, even if you use the Kli for hot in the past. And that's actually the Psak of the Mechaber in Siman Tzadi Dalet. The Shach also notes that this issue might depend on the girsa of the Rishonim in Psachim. He writes, "Masha Kasav," meaning the Rama, "V'chein Matzino b'kli chametz v'chulei k'tisa b'shas, eno muska malib d'kuli alma, ela das harif b'per kol shah, dafilu lo nivla." Ella al yedei beisor v'charoses also shamish bo matza tzonin pudas Rambam for Ramban. Okay, wow. So now v'shar poskim k'vor beisios v'chaim. So the Ramban, Rif, all also have a concern over there. So the Shach says, yeah, it's true, but the Rush doesn't hold that way, and others. But, okay, now what's this Girsa issue that he's referring to? So there's two Girsos over there. According to the Rif, the Girsa is, Kol ha-kelim sh'nishtamesh bahem chametz bitzonein, mutar l'shtamesh bahem matzah bitzonein, chutz mi beisor v'charoses. Right, because the beisor v'charoses is more of a concern. But regularly, what did the Gemara say? L'shtamesh bahem chametz bitzonein, mutar l'shtamesh bahem matzah, but the mashmos is that nishtamish bam chametz bechamin aser lishtamish bam matzah bitzonein. So again, the Rush, the Tur, don't hold of that girsa. They take out the word sonein. Their gear says kol kelim shenishtamish ben chametz betzonein mutar lishtamish ben matza chutz mibeis rav charoses. And then you could say matza meaning even matza b'chamin. And the pshat is like the shach says because there's no blios betzonein, so no problem. But again, according to a whole bunch of rishonim, that's not true. Right? According to a whole bunch of rishonim, the Gemara in Pesachim is telling me that if you used it bechametz bechamin, then you can use it b'matzah b'tzonin. So, now, the Shach actually never explains over here what to do with the Shita of the Rif, right? Meaning to say, how do we explain that? How would the Shach explain it? Meaning to say, the Shach, who's hardcore anti-blios b'tzonin, right? Well, hayav alay nivra. So how would he explain that group of Rishonim? Right? The Rishach doesn't deny it's a whole bunch of Rishonim. So he doesn't tell you what he would say. The Ran in Pesachim on Daf Tesem Adalef Bedaf Be'arif has two possibilities. The first is that Kli Chares, She'en lo takana ala b'shvira, Chayshin an Shema Yishahav Yishtamish Bohel B'chamin. And we're going to actually get back to that Ran in a moment, because the Ramah quotes that Ran. We'll get there shortly. And so basically the point is that there's no blios betzonin, right? But if you used the klicheres bechamin for iser, chametz or the like, so there's no way to kasher it. So it's a very bad idea, according to the Rif, to leave kelim shel iser around and say, well, okay, I know these kelim are aser, but I'm only going to use them for tzonin. Well, maybe you'll forget once, right? Answer number two. Very interesting idea. Very interesting. That's limited to Kli Cheres. That this reminds us back to some of the discussions we had in Siman Tzadi Ches, right? When Blios are married to a Kli in an inseparable way, then it redefines the Kli such that we look at it as Gufo Shalisser. Remember, there was a shita that holds that you need to shishim keneged not just mashabala but the kli itself, the charis itself. So this is another. So, but the Ran holds that the Rif is another version of that shita.
Why is it? Why is it?
Because since you can't get them, you can't separate them. So harei hein kegufo shalisser. At least to require hadacha. Or, he doesn't say for shishim, but it would be a similar type of idea. And then we also saw...
That's only if the rashma is probably like a rashma?
What do you mean?
The blios remain in dofnos
v'olam? No, everybody agrees for cheres, they're going to be remain in dofnos. It's a little similar to that rashma we cited before, which is that since kli cheres never, the blios never leave, so then they could leave even betzonin. But it's not exactly the same as a rashma. That's why you can't kasher kli cheres. Why can't you do agal and kli cheres? Because you can never know that the stuff actually ever left. We're always concerned that it stays right in there forever and ever. That's indisputed. The Shach says, okay, great, but it has no effect on anything but tzonin. Okay, good. Anyway, what time is it? We have to go a little faster. Okay, let's skip. We're going to go through a little more of the Shach, but let's skip. So the Shach also quotes that the Orchos Chaim also agreed to a type of blios betzonin by Davar Charif. He said that the Orchos Chaim holds that it is mavlia or mavlia betzonin even with mavlia even without dochka de sakina. But so there, even when you read the Shach, even if you accept the Shach lahalacha, which we do. And you think that we don't pass in like the Ramah, just after reading the Shach, you do get the impression that there are a bunch of Rishonim that are concerned in various circumstances to issues of Blios Betzonin under certain circumstances. Now, none of them are quite the Ramah, but it is interesting that once you have all those Rishonim, the Ramah isn't as crazy as it seems at first. Because At first, when you see it, you assume, like the Shach, that nobody ever heard of anything about Blios Betzonim. Fine. So that's the Shita of the Shach. Now, there's another Kasha on the Ramah that the Shach doesn't even raise. The Prima Gadim raises this problem. In a sense, it's the most problematic Shaila, because it's Mineu Bein issue. But I think it's actually from this Shaila that perhaps a Yisha for the Ramah comes out. And that is the Ramah in Simen Kufchaf Aleph Sif Hei. And you don't need the Prima Gadim to find that out, because the Ramah himself tells you to look there. The Ramah in Sadi Aleph says, look at what I said in Kufchaf Aleph. And the Ramah in Kufchaf Aleph tells you to look at what I said in Sadi Aleph. So it's a good idea to take his advice. And at first, that leaves us very confused. But maybe, again, it's also a Pesach or a answer. The Ramah over there writes, I guess I'll just read it. The context over there is, if you did Hagala on a Kli that needs Libun. So the Halacha is that if you did that, it's ineffective. Meaning to say that the blios remain. Kabolo kachpolto. So if it was used be'esh for Isser, then, and you do Hagala on it, you put your spit into a pot of boiling water, so those blios that are inside the spit stay in the spit. And therefore, if you were then to use that kli, Bechamin, even not al yidei esh, even with water, right? It would asher the food. Okay, that's what the Mechaber says. Very straightforward. The Ramah writes, Hagah, avo mutter l'shtamish bo betzonim. So even though you have this treif kli, right? Again, you had a kli that needed libun, but you did hagala on it, so it's treif. Oh, you could use a betzonim. Sounds like the shach, right? You could use a betzonim. Afilu l'chatchila. Al yidei hadacha v'shif shafetiv. The kol shekein b'kli shetzara hagala. Kol shekein b'kli shetzara hagala, meaning if the kli needed hagala. V'davka b'derach harai. But he says, when is it that you could use treif kelim for tzonin? Another condition. Interesting. This condition of arai wasn't mentioned at all in Simen Sadi Aleph. Kegon, shuba beis ovikochavim, obediyaved. Aval, im rotzel ishtamish bo bekeva, you want to use it permanently? Yesh machmerin va'omen dafil ishtamish bo tzonin, tzach hagalo libon. Kseh v'shem ishtamish bo chamin. This is the Mordechai and the Rokeach. And he writes, Vachi Nogin. And then after all this, he says, Ayin le'el simin sadi aleph. So what's he saying over here? He's saying, a treif kalim is mutter. Arai. So now, here we have yet another stira in the Ramah, right? Our Ramah says, sonin is mutter only if it's dry, and if it was never used, b'chamin. Here it's clearly used b'chamin. It's a klisha ton libun or hagala. And still, he says it's okay if it's arai. So this is mamish, a black on white stira between sadi aleph, kufchaf aleph. So maybe the answer is like this. Really, the Ramah has two issues. One issue is, and this makes the Ramah already closer to the Shach, and he already alludes to this answer in the Tos Chatas, like we said, but it's not enough, is that the Ramah is choshesh, that when you wash something, typically, you don't do a super-duper job. Right? We don't always assume that washed kelim, if you weren't makbet to do a shif-shuf hetev, so then maybe you didn't do such a good job. And that's the basis of his problem. That's what he's concerned about, because he's medayik that the Baal Eter is concerned. That's why the Baal Eter says it's aser, because you didn't totally super duper clean it. And the other sources say otherwise, that it's mutter. You don't have to have that concern. So that's one concern that the Ramah has, right? When kalim are clean, maybe they're not super clean. The second concern that he has is the concern of the Mordechai and the Rokeach and the like that he cites, which is, we are concerned, even when they are totally, totally clean, that even though right now you're going to be using them for tonin, but maybe later on you'll forget and you'll use them for chamin. We don't like the idea of using even totally, totally clean treif kalim on a permanent basis. So those are the two concerns. And to address, he addresses those two concerns in both places, in Kuf Chaf Aleph and Sadi Aleph. Except they're talking about different cases. Kuf Chaf Aleph, he's talking about what you need to do to use it both in Arai. And Sadi Aleph, he's talking about what you need to do to use it permanently, or not open Arai. So let's look at Kuf Chaf Aleph first. So Kuf Chaf Aleph, he wants to use it Arai. So what does he say you need to do? Two things. One is, you're allowed to read, I'm going to read you his lashon again, Aval morta l'shtamish bo tzonin, afilu chatchila, al yidei hadacha v'shifshuf heitev. He doesn't say you could just wash it. Right? Notice how in our siman, Sadi Aleph, he didn't make that condition. He's not, nor did the Mechaber, right? Didn't say anything about shifshuf heitev. That's more than typical cleaning. Shifshuf heitev. Shafshef. Ah. So, Kuf Chaf Aleph, you want to use it, so you need two things. Number one, and how do these two things solve the two problems? Concern number one is maybe there's some residue. Okay? How do we solve that? Hadacha v'shifshef heitev. Concern two, we're afraid you might forget and use it later on, b'chamin. You're right. Solve that by saying, it's only mutter arai, kigon shuba be'sovi kochavim. Okay? You're not going to live in the guy's house forever. This is talking about a case, a one-time basis, and therefore it's mutter. Oh. What about Sadi Aleph? So there too he has those two concerns. But Sadi Aleph, he's saying, look, if you're not talking about ofen arai, so then we have to deal with these two concerns. Concern number one is it might be a little bit dirty, right? Well, what's the solution? If it's dry, it's no problem. Because apparently, when, you know, even if there is a little bit of residue left, again, we're not talking about a dirty plate. We're talking about a plate that was washed. He agrees. The Baal Eter is talking about it, something that was washed, essentially clean. So if this is a essentially clean plate that might have a little bit of residue left on it, you put a piece of matzah on it, totally dry, it's going to be okay. Number two, condition number two, and that takes care of the dirt problem. Condition number two is even more interesting. He says, but still it's only mutter if it's never used with heat. Now, why is that? What's the logic over there, right? This was what I was bothering Shmuel about. So the answer is, and this is an idea that comes from a number of Rishonim, including the Rashba itself, which is that things that were bala betzonein, lo balu elam'at. And therefore, even if you were to be mevashel with it, it would be batel. So therefore, what was the second concern that the Ramah had? Again, what was concern number one is the residue. He solved that problem by saying it has to be dry. Dry, the residue won't transfer. Ah, but what was the second problem? We're afraid that maybe this time you're going to use it betzonein. Next time you're going to use it b'chamin. Well, if it was only bala betzonein, it's lo bala elama'at, and therefore it's going to be mutter, at least according to a number of opinions b'diavad. And therefore, he's mako. That's why. So if there are no blios, it's certainly going to be mutter, right? But even if there were some blios betzonein, a shtickle of blios, but since lo bala betzonein, lo bala elamat, that's the heter. So those are the two concerns, and now he's answered all the questions. And Kain's, this isn't exactly, but if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, the Pirkei Avot, they all have similar types of mahalchim. So maybe that's a pshat in the Ramah. Now to be clear, this is not the way the Shach or the Taz learned the Ramah, but perhaps this is the Pshat in the Ramah.
The fact that it's only Boleak a little bit, it's even should by Melicha?
Bala Batonin. Anytime it's Bala Batonin, Lo Bala Elamat.
Even by Melicha?
Yeah. Okay.
Ready?
We know, for example, that Melicha is only a Klipa, right? And we know that Klipa, it's Machlokas Rishonim, but many Rishonim say Klipa is always Mutab Dieved, right?
What about Kisha?
Well, the case of Bala Batzonin, it's an interesting shiloh, how far it goes in for Kvisha and the like. But when he says Bala Batzonin, all I know is he's talking about Malicha, because that's the example he cites. It's an interesting question. Yes?
Without Shushov Hitiv, Are we worried about Shuman, Shamunis, meaning why would the Devar Yavesh sell
that problem? We're worried about a tiny amount of residue. It's, I told you, it's like when I wash the dishes, not like when my wife washes the dishes.
So wait, there would be grease, which would come out of the Devar Yavesh.
It's not true.
Very nasty.
Yeah, give me a no. Apparently, this is a Metzius that the Ramah just writes. I mean, I don't think I'm making anything up. I think it makes sense also, but the Ramah writes that when you're dealing with Lachos is more likely to pick up this residue than Yavesh is. Okay, so how do we paskin halacha lemaisa? Right? Right, give you a lemaisa shaila. Right, you're going ahead and you're on a business trip, you're staying at the Sheraton, and there's a continental breakfast. Kivaldik, free food. So you go down to the continental breakfast, and there's cornflakes, which are kosher, there's milk, which is kosher, but the problem is there's no plastic spoons and plastic bowls, because a nice restaurant, nice hotel isn't going to put out plastic kalim. And these bowls, for all I know, were used last night for clam chowder. So am I allowed to have a bowl of cereal? Right? So, lemaisa, we paskin, we're not choshesh for the shach, or for the Ramah, or for the Taz. And therefore, it's mutter, as long as we saw, as long as, A, you know it's totally clean, so, now, that's going to be okay. Probably the Sheraton doesn't put out the dirty kalim, but, A, it has to be totally clean, and B, this is only a heter be'ofen arai, but not ofen kavua. In other words, you can't have every morning for breakfast your cereal in your fleishig bowl, but when you're at the hotel, it's mutter. The Badi Shulchan is medayik. We'll talk about maybe the source for this in just a couple of minutes. That this heter from the Lashon of the Raman Kuf Chaf Aleph, maybe it sounds like it's only mutter beveso shel akum. In other words, derech mikra, right? Like, if you're like lazy and you don't want to take a milk bowl, you're allowed to say, okay, derech arai, one time I'm going to have my cereal in the fleishig bowl, right? Or like your story, your mythical story with Reb Chaim. So from the Lashon of the Raman, Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, it sounds a little bit like that might be Aser.
We're not choshesh for Raman.
No. We're not choshesh for the chumras of the Raman for Simen Sadi Aleph. But you still need a rye. The shach in our simon also says a rye.
Didn't Rabbi just say we're not choshish for the shach or the ramah?
No. We paskin like the ramah. We're not choshish.
Like
we paskin like the shach. We're not choshish for the ramah and simon tzadi aleph.
That's why you could have like cereal and milk, because milk is lachlus, so it's not a problem.
That's right.
Okay.
Correct. In other words, if you want to put it a little differently, if you asked a shaila, am I allowed to have the bowl of cereal at the Hilton? So if you ask the pashtos in the ramah, it would be Aser. Right? If you asked the Taz, it would be Aser. If you asked the Rashba, it would be Aser, if it's Klicheres, right? But, luckily, we could ask the Shach, and therefore it's Mutter.
But not according to Rebbe's reading was that...
No, my reading... my reading would be okay even for the Ramah. Yes, correct. And that's really the impression you get from Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph. But even if you... So maybe we do paskin a little bit like the Ramah, but we're not machmir for the Ramah. But let's assume for a moment, like the Shach and the Taz Bedas HaRamah, even if they're correct in their understanding of the Ramah, we don't paskin like that.
Rebbe.
Okay. But you know, I think in light of what the Ramah says, Kuf Chaf Aleph, you know, you should definitely make sure it is clean. Yeah, take a look at it before you pull your Cheerios in, like this taka really clean.
You can make a fancy argument against that the Ramah would also be mentioned in this case. It's never clean Rishon. The bowls are never Boleya. So the only chashash is the Mamash.
Yeah, in a chinami.
You wash it off in the sink yourself and it's fine.
In a chinami. I don't think you have to do that. But I think you could trust their shift. But you're right. Mm-hmm. When they're talking about a bowl and a spoon.
What about the dishwasher?
We'll talk about dishwashers when we get there. Then for the Ramah itself, there's even more room for Kula. Might be even mutter for the Ramah. Yeah, I hear. It's not a bad argument. No, we're not going to go that far. Give me a break. Okay, good. We don't, no, in other words.
If it was a
cliche, first of all, definitely Iroi Klirishon. And
set. Dishwashers?
No, even you have to be choshesh that when they poured the. Well, oatmeal would make it clean rishon. If he was dead, the clam chowder is even clean rishon. Well, first of all, we might be machmer for the ladle if it's already very hot ladle, right? And all that shiles. We're definitely not going to be machmer mako like to do that to put hot in there. But for cold, you could be mako. Good. Now we should note, by the way, when we said this point, just this is, I guess a little bit more of a Kuf Chaf Aleph topic, but we're talking about Kuf Chaf Aleph, and the Shach quotes it. This idea that the Shach quotes over here and the Ramah quotes in Kuf Chaf Aleph that it's only a heter b'ofen arai is actually a machlokas rishonim. Not everybody agrees to that point. The Tor cites a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ri about this question as to whether you're allowed to use treif kelim betzonein b'ofen kavua, and the Ri says it's mutter. That's actually the simple reading of the Torah in Siman Sadi Dalet. We'll get there soon. But on the other hand, there are some Rishonim that are Machmir. Moreover, the Ran in Chulin is Mechalik, like we said, between Kli Cheres and other types of Kalim. Kli Cheres, they were Gozer if you use it in a permanent way because you can't kosher it. He gives a bunch of rayas for this. The Gemara in Chulin by Hahi Pincha, Dehavi Bei Rav Ami, Demalach Babisra, V'Tavrei. Right? Why'd they break it? Just use it for toning. Okay, you know. And also the Gemara in Psachim, on Daf Lamed, Kderos of Cheres, Bepesach Yishperu. Okay, why not just use it for toning? Sivan says those are all Kli Cheres. Now, and the way the Pri Chadash explains the Ran is because since it's Ein Lo Takana, we're concerned that if you leave it in your house, you're going to eventually use it for hot things. Kli Matchos, so we're not concerned because you'll eventually come to kasher it, so then it's okay. Not all Rishonim accept this Kula, by the way, that we just said. The Pri Chadash and the pre-Megadim say should be choshish for Kli Cheres, even Derech Arai. Like we said, some Rishonim are Machmir. Not like the Shach in our case. But again, I think we're Mekel on that Shaila. What time is it? Okay. All right. We don't have much time to get into it too much. There's a lot of confusion that I had with Enshita Sataz, especially between Sifkat and Aleph versus Beis and Gimel. In Sifkat and Aleph, the Taz writes a very interesting thing, which is, he writes that let's say you didn't do Hadacha, and then you were Mevashal. You should have done Hadacha, but you didn't. So he says it's going to be Mutter B'diavet. What's my Raya? He says, because in a case where you need a Klipa, and you didn't take off the Klipa, and then you were Mevashal, there's a Machlokas Rishonim if it's Mutter B'diavet or not. Right? Remember the Riva, Remeinu Tam, and the like. So Kol Shekein L'Inyan Hadacha. That's what the Taz says. Now, the Taz did not explain the Kol Shekein. So, what kind of Kol Shekein is this? So, if you look at the Chavos Das, Sifkat and Gimel, he says there's two ways to explain this Kol Shekein. Number one is that it would seem that the Taz holds that Hadacha is only a Chumrah, or a possibility too. Even if you say it's Medina, it's only a Mashahu, and therefore it's certainly going to be Batal. And he writes that's actually what the Rashba writes. The Rashba in Tosafot Bayis writes that it's only a mashahu, and therefore you cook it. Now, those two explanations is a very big nafkamina, right? Again, the chiddush of the Taz is, if you need a du'adach and you don't do adacha, and you are mevashalit, so it's too late, mutter b'diavet. Two explanations why. Either because hadach is only a chumra, or because hadach is a mashu. So nafkamina would be for Pesach, let's say. Anytime you have an isser mashu, right? Let's say you put food down on Pesach on something chametz stick that would require hadacha, so you can do hadacha, but let's say you forgot to do hadacha and you cooked it anyway. So according to the first interpretation of the Chavos Das, it would be mutter b'diavad, because hadacha is only a chumrah. Whereas according to the second explanation, it would be asur on Pesach. Now, the Prima Gadim points out, and this is obvious, that We must be talking about a case that Taz is must talk about a case where, again, where the plate, let's say that you put it on, is essentially clean, right? Obviously, if you have a potato and you drop it into a vat of lard and you take it out, so you need to do hadachah, and you don't do hadachah and you cook it up and it's like full of lard, it's not going to be mutter b'diavet, right? That's pashat. The case where the Taz says that it's mutter b'diavet anytime you didn't do hadachah, even though you should have done hadachah, is in a case where essentially the plate is clean, but we're concerned for a little bit of isser, dirt, residue, whatever it is. And then he says, okay, so l'chatchila you should wash it, but b'diavet, if you didn't wash it, it's mutter. And that could be either, again, because washing is a chumrah in this case, or because it's a mashu. It's mikra din, but there's still a mashu, so it would always be batal no matter what.
Klipa, which is only if it's impossibility.
Yeah, so it depends how strong you go from the klipa. In other words, in the case of the klipa, he's saying, again, klipa is also a shaila. No. In other words, if by klipa where there is something, but we say it's always batal, so kol shekain here where there's nothing, or kol shekain over here where there's even less, right? The kav chomer works both ways. It's just, you could say both kav chomers. Now, okay, all this is great. Now, until you get to Taz Beis. Because in Taz Beis, he quotes a marshal who gets very angry at the people that eat the herring and the pickles on the Gaiish plates when they're at the Gaiish inns. Why? Because you need to do hadacha. And even if you're going to do hadacha on the pickle, but what about the pickle juice? Right? So the marshal says this is a horrible, horrible thing. So, I don't understand. Didn't the Taz just say that any time you need to do adach, if you don't do adach, it's mutter b'diavad? So, great. So, at least it should be mutter b'diavad when, in that case. Right? It should be mutter b'diavad. So, essentially, my question is, it's not just my question, the Prima God, the Machavas Das, everybody asked the question, but the question is that in Sif Aleph, he says it's mutter b'diavad, in Sif Beis, he quotes the Marshal as assuming it's also b'diavad. So one possibility, I think Shmuel suggested this, is that maybe in Sif Beis he quotes the Marshal, he just doesn't think he's right. And that's possible. But it's a little dochak, because you would expect him to say at that point, ulefi ma shekasavti b'sif katan aleph divrei Marshal t'muhim v'kal v'chomer, that it's wrong, right? In other words, he doesn't outright dismiss this Marshal. He does quote in the next line the Raman Tars Chatas, who says it's mutter b'diavad or b'shas atchak. That's because, if you look over there, that's Tars Chatas, sounds like he's saying that you don't have to be choshish for the Bala Iter, b'shas atchak, and being at a Gaiish house is b'shas atchak. So, but that might be an answer, but if you don't want to say it like that, so we have a stira between Sifkan Al and Sifkan Beis. So the Chavos Dask is a very interesting answer. He says that the Marshal says it's aser b'diavad because of betel aser l'chatchila. What do I mean to say? You're right. If accidentally I go ahead and I put my pickles on the treif plate, so nechanami, it would be mutter b'diavad. You could drink the pickle juice. But over here, you go to the Gaiish tavern and you say, I'd like a pickle. Right? So that's bitul aser l'chatchila. It's bitul aser l'chatchila. So then it's aser b'diavad. That explains it, right? Sif Beis, the Marshal says it's aser b'diavad. Why? Because of bitul aser l'chatchila. This is a very difficult answer, because if you look at, as the Imri Baruch on the bottom points out, that you're not mechave levatlo. Right? When do we have an... So first of all, even though it's true that the Taz holds that bitulus l'chatchila is mutter when ena mechavin levatlo only if yefsher bin yinacher. So this might be yefsher bin yinacher. Maybe it's not. Okay, you could ask for a pickle on your hands. Paper plate, I don't know. But still, you're definitely not mechavin levato, right? So it's very big chumrah to say it becomes aser b'diavet at this point. It's a very difficult answer. The Prima Gadim gives a different answer. He's saying, by the Mei Melach, he's going l'shitaso and Sifkat and Zayin, where he paskins like the Riva, who holds that it's Yafshar b'klipa, it's Aser b'kulo. And who had din halacha? Because remember, was the whole makor for Sif Aleph? Kal v'chomer from Klipa. But since he thinks Klipa is asbidim, but then what's he talking about in Sif Aleph? So you have to say that Sif Aleph is talking about Yavesh. And then he's mekel b'diavet. And Sif Beis is talking about Lach. He says that explicitly, the pickle juice. And therefore, he's choshesh v'riva, and therefore it's asr even b'diavet. Anyway, one way or the other, though, I think we're mekel on the shayla. Rabbi Kivager points out that the Rashba is mekel. And if it's Nishtamish Bo Kodim Shiad Yechenu, you do Hadacha, and that which is Davar Lach is Mutter B'diavit.
Why isn't it just not even getting to the Lachachila? Why isn't it just Lachachila? Don't go there. Or don't order a pickle. Since Lachachila.
Okay, but again, it's still not going to answer it B'diavit, even if you say that. First of all, I don't know what I'm going to eat. If you can't eat herring and I can't eat pickles, what's left? But I can't eat the ham that's there, right? The only kosher food at this guy's tavern is a pickle and a pickle and a herring.
No, don't go.
Don't go. Oh, you want me to starve?
No, so that's why he goes to Ramash. That's a fact. There's no other place.
But it shouldn't be Aser B'diavet. Again, the problem is...
He said it's Aser B'diavet and Isser Barer. That was in Sif Aleph. He answered his question that if there's an Isser, when you check a Shochet, you don't know necessarily if he's good, so then you could be Miko. There's no Isser Barer. But when he says, Mashikin here, when you're putting a piece of kosher meat on a iser, that's iser bar, you can't...
Right, that's why he says we're choshes that you're going to forget to wash it. But what happens if you do forget to wash it and you cook it anyway? He said in Sifkat Nalef, it's mutter b'diavet.
Okay, but don't do it.
Great. So why is it aser b'diavet? If the Taz just said in Sifkat and Beis that I recommend against doing this, that would be fine. But he says Nasar.
Does say Nasar cool, but I mean,
right. So that's the problem.
The problem is not the pickle, the problem is the juice.
And he says it's aser b'diavet. And according to what he said in Sifkat Na'alef, it should be aser l'chatchila.
Yeah,
okay, if you... That's fine. No, if that's what he said, it's fine. If he said, b'chia gavna, leave over the pickle juice, l'chatchila, fine. But he says it's nasar. So you could say nasar doesn't mean nasar. That's an option. But kafi what the words seem to say, that's why we have a problem. Okay, good. We're out of time. I want to just tell you, Lemaisa, what we do when it comes to Isser that's no Gaya Beheter. Cold. So, Basr Begvina Shinagu Zabazah, Lemaisa. Even if one of them is Lach, or both of them are Lach, they're Mutter Lagamre, and you have to wash the place that they touched. Or, but for that, it's enough to do. These rules, bottom line, are coming from mostly the Aruch HaShulchan and the like. But for that, it's enough to just do Hadacha Kala, and you don't need Shifshif, right?
Now,
that is when both of them or one of them was Lach. If Shneim Yaveshim.
Lachos.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lach is liquid.
No. Lachos, then Dachos. No, we're talking about Lachos.
Right.
Sorry. But, so like again, a typical piece of meat touching a piece of cheese, like this case, right? Meat is usually not dry. It has some moisture on it. So therefore, a piece of meat touches a piece of cheese. What's the halacha? Hadacha kala, you don't need shif-shif. But, if they're both totally dry, so then you don't need anything. That's the opinion of the Shach and Sifkat Na'alef. Now, the Chavis Das points out that the Ramah disagrees with that Shach, for Sifkat Na'alef. Because he holds that even Yavesh by Hadacha, but we don't paskin like that Rama, right? We paskin like the Shach, and that's also the Psak of the Aruch HaShulchan. So totally dry, you don't need anything. And if there's moisture, you just need Hadacha Kala.
What do we hold back?
Now, one second, but if it's Davar Charif, so then we paskin like the Prima Gadim, that even Yavesh needs Hadacha. Pischei Tshuva, Sifkat Na'alef quotes that from the Chavis Das, and that's what comes out in Sif Hey, where he says, Imhem Yaveshim Afilu Hei Meluchim Sagi B'Hadacha, Mashma, that you need Hadacha. There's only Meluchim, but the Prima Gadim says Hu Adin Charif. Not sure, not so obvious that that extends, but at least that's the Psak of the Prima Gadim. Good. What about if one of them is Shami? So then, we paskin, you need Hadacha Im Shifshuf. Not just Hadacha, but Hadachim Shifshuf. That's the Psak of the Prima Gadim, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rashba. The Rashba brings a Raya from Chulin on Daf Chesam Beis that it says a Tabach needs Shalosh Sakinim. Now the Chavos Das is actually makel on that shaila. The Chavos Das says no. The reason why that we're machmir over there is because there's Dochka de Sakina also, right? That's also the view of the Beis Ephraim. All this is in the Pischei Tshuva Sifkan Aleph. But the Prima Gadim says if you look at the Rashba, it doesn't sound that way because the Rashba didn't mention anything about Dochka de Sakina. So even though it's true that Rais and Chulin and there it's Dochka de Sakina, but the Mashmos is Lamaisa, even without Dochka de Sakina, it's a problem. So I think we're machmir on that shaila, and we say that you would need Shif Shaf Hetev once it's Shamein. And then Kol Shekein, if it's Dochka de Sakina plus Shamein, then everybody would need, you agree, you need Shif Shaf Hetev Ad Chi Yivada Lo Shesar Hasham Nunes. It's the Lashon of the Rashba and Tersabais. So, Limushel, I'll give you an interesting example. So let's say you live in a town and there isn't a kosher fish store. So, so you want to buy fish from the non-kosher fish store. So the problem is that they also sell non-kosher fish there. So you go to the non-kosher fish store and you say, I'd like 2 pieces of salmon, and they cut it up for you and they give it to you. So what do I need to do now? Right? So salmon is very clearly kosher. Most poskim assume that you don't even need to check for simanim for salmon. There are no non-kosher fish that look at all like salmon. It's like we have tfias ayin for that. Okay, that's okay. I could be certain it's salmon. For other types of fish, happens to be, now is not our topic, but then you have to be concerned. You have to actually check for simanim yourself. The poskim point out that there are a number of non-kosher fish that look like kosher fish. Like every so often fish stores are caught for selling things that they claim is tilapia that isn't tilapia, it's some type of non-kosher fish. So then you need more hashgacha. But let's say salmon. So salmon, very safe. Star case, choshish, that for this, there was one guy that tried to color their other fish salmon by making the water pink that the fish swam in. But I think you don't see choshish for it. So far, they have not perfected that practice, and it very clearly doesn't look like salmon. So, okay, so you're going to go to the non-kosher store, to Safeway, and you're going to buy your salmon. Okay, but what's the problem? The problem is, what about the knife, right? So, the best thing to do in this case is if you live in this out-of-town community and you want to buy it, is to buy a fish knife yourself and go to the fish store. If you want to order special things and go to the fish store, and he'll be happy to say, use my knife, cut the fish for me. If you bring your kitchen knife, he'll be annoyed because it's much harder to cut fish with it, one of the standard kitchen knives. They're a little expensive fish knives, but if you live in such a community where it's hard to get kosher fish and the like, so they just invest in a fish knife, and then you bring it to the guy and you say, here's my knife, cut me a piece of salmon. And obviously you also should make sure that the cutting board is clean, or you could just ask him to lay out new paper, which he'll also be happy to do. Lay out new paper, use my knife, and then you've solved your problem. But let's say you didn't. So then what do you need to do? So what we're saying now is you need hadacha v'shif shaf hetev. Why is that? Because it's fatty, right? The knife might have been dirty. The cutting board might have been dirty. And therefore you should do hadacha v'shif shaf hetev. However, many poskim say that using a strong stream of water in that case has the status of hadacha v'shif shaf hetev. Don't use hot water. So if you put your fish that you bought under a strong stream of water in all the places where it might have come in contact with the non-kosher stuff, that would be okay. We'll talk about later if there's more kula, if there's a whole bunch of things out, could you assume that there's bittel, because it's yavish biyavish, and maybe only the first ones became non-kosher, because there's not enough shamnunis on the knife to aser 50 pieces of fish. So let's say there is a splay with 50 pieces of fish. We'll talk about that. That's the lemonai shaila when we get there in the Ramah. But that's a different issue. And then, what's the halacha when you need to do hadacha, but you can't do hadacha? So the Shulchan Aruch, we actually see that in Siman Sadi Beis, like Kishuim, or the Pischei Tshuva over here, talks about that in terms of bread, right? Let's say you went ahead and and you cut the bread with a fleishig knife or a non-kosher knife, whatever it is, so you're not, you're going to start washing your bread. So it's not going to come out very good. Probably won't even be effective. So if you look at the Pesachei Tshuva, he writes that there's a machlokas achronim about this. The Shach says hadacha works for bread. So if hadacha doesn't work, you have to do greyer. You have to do something else to get out that surface residue. What about bread? So the Shach says it works. The Knesset Gedol argues. The Pesachei Tshuva talks out, it's probably talking about the crust of the bread, right? You're not going to do hadacha on the sliced bread. But the point is, if you have a thick crust bread, so that's where the Shach says you could do hadacha on it, and the Knesset HaGadola says you shouldn't. And for all the details about washing bread, take a look at the Prima Gadim and the Pesachei Tshuva and the like. Okay, stop here. So,